All right. As Nick said, the process of comparing two of anything is eliminating the things that are different if you can. So you truly have an A-B.
Sorry. Okay.
So over the past 3 years, I've had the distinct honor to be able to DX from Grayland in Washington State here on the left and a place called Sansuchi, which is down the coast about 90 miles west of Eugene, Oregon, during the same week. And if it weren't for Murphy, almost in parallel. This is where they are. These are kind of Google Maps strip satellite views of the two places. Grayland at the top, Sansuchi at the bottom with coordinates. You can see that Grayland is about 2.5 hours by car south-southwest of Seattle. Sansuchi is about 200 miles south of that, about 5 hours by car. And Eugene, it's about 90 miles west of Eugene. Both are right on the coast. Locations I just told you. The difference is Grayland is about 10 feet above sea level, and Sansuchi is about 800 feet above sea level. Grayland is almost right on the ocean. You're within a few hundred feet of the actual very, very much varying tide level of the Pacific Ocean. Sansuchi is about with a half a mile. Grayland is flat, flat, flat. And Sansuchi, you're on a constant 15-degree sheep leg slope towards the ocean. You know, sheep in New Zealand all have two legs longer than the other. Yeah, okay. You've heard that. Receiver in both places was the Perseus, and it just so happens, although I've used many different DCASs, they were the same DCAS in these particular years, and we'll show you that right here. In 2012, I had a 128-foot DCAS at both locations with a fixed RT. That's the termination resistance. 2013 had 140-foot DCAS in both locations with remote RT. And in 2014, it had 160-foot DCAS with fixed RT. And you saw this diagram yesterday. This is what a DCAS looks like. Now, one thing that's probably not a difference in these two places is the path to the target. If we take a look at the path from the two different receive locations up there on the left to Melbourne, Auckland, or Honolulu, it's so near identical that it doesn't really make any difference in the long view. Even on the coast itself, if you look, there's no land protrusions like Nick had or anything else. It's just straight water. Now, the way that I do logs is a bit different than most people. I don't write anything down much, which is probably a problem. But I just put up a web page with actual sound samples. What you see here are down the left-hand side frequencies, and this is just a portion of it. And then across the top on the right-hand side are dates, locations, and times. And in the matrix intersection of those is a little play button, and if you hit the play button, you hear the sound from that time. And then all the other text is who it is, distance, azimuth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of handy. But once all this is in a database, you can have all sorts of fun. So what I did was for the 3 years that I was in each place, simultaneously for the most part, I counted up the number of Australian logs from Grayland and Sansuchi, the number of New Zealand logs, and number of logs from Hawaii. That's the top little bit on this busy graph. I looked at that and said, well, that's interesting, but I don't see the real picture here, so I'm going to combine them all for the total unique number of stations from the three locations. That's the lower right. And what you see on that one is that for Hawaii and New Zealand, we're almost identical. In fact, we are identical. For Australia, there's a marked difference between Grayland and Sansuchi. I take that to be interesting, useful. Now, the problem is, or the shortcoming is, that over here on the left, you see the actual dates where I was actually in parallel at the two locations. In 2012, we did pretty good. We had 2 days, August 1st and 2nd, where both Grayland and Sansuchi were active, running, and I had files to work with. In 2013, we have exactly zero because Bill likes to tighten his wire nuts too tight, and the wind came along, and we didn't have any termination on our antenna in Grayland after we left. In 2014... there was a short power outage one day after I left Grayland, which made the CPU come down. And even though it came back up when the power did, the radio didn't seem to like that it had been shut down, and we had nothing for 2 or 3 days. But we did have one on the last day. And it just turns, yeah. What I'm talking about is during the dates that you see on the left-hand side, like August 1st and 2nd in 2012, there were two simultaneous operations going on in Grayland and Sansuchi. I was at one of them, but not at the other. But because of SDRs, computers, and timed recording, it was the same information from both places, which gave me tons of wave files to take a listen to. It was in the Grayland, this is all the Grayland, when it says Grayland, whenever we say Grayland, we mean the Grayland Motel, unless someone specifies otherwise. Because there is a Grayland State Park, which people have done, and things like that, which are right nearby. Sansuchi is a home-away rental place that's in a gorgeous physical location. If you have an SDR, we're going to look at some in a second, but if you have an SDR, the first thing you want to have is another piece of software that, with which you can schedule recording. Because half the beauty of the SDR is you don't have to be there. You can let it go all night, and you can listen to it later. That's the beauty of it. It's none of this live VXing stuff. It's better then. Trust me. Anyway, we'll get to that. All right, now, this, what you're looking at here are two screens. This, when you DX with an SDR, you have to pick a way that you want to see your DX. You can see peaks and valleys, you can see waterfall. And you can have an infinite number of color variations on the waterfall. The one that I have found the best, and Guy Atkins taught me, is called reverse X-ray. So that the loud stuff is white. No, it's black. Yeah, varying shades of gray, basically. And with this, you can see the splits. I don't know how well the frequencies didn't come out too well on this. So what I might do, if you look at this, you can see the 10 kilohertz channels. Alright, they're regular. These little things in between, that's the DX. That's the foreign stuff that we're after, the interesting stuff. So if you look at these are two simultaneous band scans going about from like 600 kilohertz to 800 kilohertz. The top one is from Grayland on August 1st. The bottom one is from Grayland on August 2nd. So in this first slide, we're looking at daily differences at the same site. Okay, that's the first thing you have to get used to and accept is the fact that daily differences between sites is going to screw up any long-term prognostication you make, as Nick pointed out. So what we see here is that August 2nd from Grayland was probably a better day than August 1st. Beautiful. You can see the intensity, these stripes down here. And on August 2nd, they're a lot better than they are on August 1st. So we're going to listen to a couple of these. The first thing we're going to look at, or listen to, I got it. I'm learning. I'm becoming ambidextrous. I'm a government worker. I can do anything. All of it poorly. The first thing we're going to listen to is on 783, which is right here. This shaky one here, it seems to wobble, doesn't it? Yeah. This is Access Radio in Wellington, New Zealand, and we're going to listen to the cut on August 2nd. All right, so that's what we have on 783 on August 2nd from Grayland, all right? If you look at the carrier intensity, you can see the difference between the two. August 2nd is a much better day than August 1st. Just to prove it again, here's 792, the same station that Nick played a little while ago, and it's up 9 kilohertz over here, and it's got a really good signal, it says.
It's Red First, Stuart Milligan, and it's coming up straight after the news. Here on RN, where it's news time, 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Virginia Small. Good evening.
In any successful DX expedition, if the more you hear that, the sicker of it you get, but you're happy at the same time. Ooh, I like getting sick. This is good.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one is 765. It's Radio Kahungunu from Napier. And again, it's another one that's in a Pacific language. Here's a note for radio people. Never do a singing program over the phone. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. All right, so that's one kind of difference. Now we get to the more interesting, and that's site differences. This is August 1, same. This is August 1 in Grayland at the top, Sansuchi at the bottom. And if you look at this one, you're seeing down here that some of these are stronger from one site, but other ones are stronger from the other. And this is where things get a little bit more interesting. So what I've got down here on these, this isn't the presentation where I actually put the dates on here. These are all recordings of Sansuchi on August 1st that we're going to listen to. So the first one is 774 ABC, which one is 774? I think it's this one. It's this one right here.
It's somewhere right.
Yeah. Which you see is a lot stronger at the top, but starts to fade. No, it's this one. Splash from 770. Damn domestics. The next, now you see, what you're seeing is that this is really good here in Sansuchi, particularly up here at the top where that was probably recorded, and it starts to fade, but it's nothing like that at any point during this recording, which is 4 minutes long, incidentally. I set the scale way back, so this represents 4 minutes all the way up and down. So it never, as Nick pointed out, if you're listening to several minutes of it, and it never comes up to the level of, you know, the other site went, basically. The next one's on 792. That's over here. And you can, this is easy. I mean, there's no question. Sansuchi's got a better signal on that. So, it looks to me like, to go to my premise of the whole presentation, like things from Australia are coming in better in Sansuchi than they are in Grayland. To prove that even further, there was a station on 585, which is off the chart over here, that I heard in Sansuchi that I couldn't even hear in Grayland, and isn't even heard that often. And it's the only verification I ever got in the last 30 years for reception, because the guy was looking for them. And this is 2WEB Outback Radio. And as Neil said with his, you're going to have to listen a bit to hear this one. She says, this is your station, Outback Radio 2WEB. I didn't even know it was rare until I got home, so. Okay, another Australian, yep. Yep.
Bill, how do you capture those? With a print screen?
Yeah, yep, yep. I mean, there's a built-in utility in Windows. What's it called, capture or?
Well, print screen.
No, but just to save it as a file that you can take in and play with in another decent computer, like a Mac or something.
Yes.
But it's called, Snip tool. Or something like that. It's part of it's a built-in thing. So from these visits to the West Coast and these summer visits, what I've learned is that, and I didn't even think of it until Nick asked me to help him with his presentation, is that Sansuchi indeed looks like it's a better place to hear Australia than Grayland, which is unusual because for most of the DX that you're going to hear on the West Coast, Grayland is superior to everything, for everything, in my brief experience. A couple of things that you should be aware of, though, and if you think about it very long, you'll figure it out real quick, is that domestic station interference is by far the largest factor, which is going to cause you grief in trying to hear DX from either of these locations. So it's absolutely imperative to get a decent antenna that produces a nice flat-butted cardioid pattern and a lot of stuff out front. So when you see Neil and I and Mark and all these people going through all sorts of contortions to put up a lot of wire and go through a lot of hell, that's why. because on the coast you just point where the water is and get everything off the back that you can, without exception. Short-term fading patterns and daily variation are also going to hide all the long-term effects unless you really look at a lot of data for a long period of time. And the last thing that everybody, most people already know, is that Murphy's everywhere. Whether it's unattended recordings at a site that you're not at, or when you get back home and try to do some crazy file translations between operating platforms. You just gotta think about it, do everything you can to prevent it, plan ahead, and you know, all sorts of stuff like that. I think my last slide, yeah, references. The thing that, that showed you those nice paths to the from the West Coast down to Australia and New Zealand is a website called GC Map. And any place that has a airport, or thinks it does, because if you do the one for Grayland, it's called the Grayland Galactic Spaceport or something. I think it's a joke, but it does get you to Grayland. You can show distances and bearings, which is incredibly useful. I mean, essential if you're going to be doing antenna, when you put up an antenna. Google Maps is a wonderful tool, along with a decent graphics program, so you can suck out satellite views of things and make drawings on top. But a lot of time, before I go, I take a Google Map satellite view of where I'm going, so I can see what ground I have to work with, what area, and then let you know draw on top of it with a vector drawing program, where I'm going to put the antennas, so I know fully what to expect when I get there, other than the terrain, basically. From other Grayland D expeditions, you can look at these websites. These are all ones that I've done in the past. In fact, the ones that we just talked about in 2012, 13, and 14 are these URLs in increasing order. And if you want to see this presentation or hear these sounds with some headphones on, down there at the bottom is the actual URL they're at, realmonitor.com/fort-wayne-2015.
When you run an SDR recording overnight, how much data does that amount to?
Well, you see, it depends what you do. If you cheat, like I do, there's a program called MESTOR, M-E-S-T-O-R, and it's set up by a European, all these Europeans think a lot. And this guy has thought it all out, and he knows that you're only interested really in the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, because that's where the IDs are, percentage-wise. Now, I'll quickly throw in that, you know, plenty of guys will tell you that not all DX happens at the top of the hour, and that's true. But if you're going to record all night, you don't want to take up, terabytes. So I can get on a whole night's worth, this is all night, and well under, how much is it? Like a couple of hundred gigabytes? A few hundred gigabytes? It's not that much in today's world, I can take a whole week's worth of DX at one of these places with just top and bottom of the hour and easily get it on a 1 terabyte portable drive.